We have been singing those words, "Crowned is the Lamb who for sinners atoned." Crowned is the Lamb who for sinners atoned. Could we turn, please, to read about the Lamb, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And let's read about the Lamb who for sinners atoned. The Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 12, we're reading from verse 1. You remember a few weeks ago, we read some verses later in the chapter, but we want to read the verses from the early part of Exodus chapter 12. So if you'd follow with me in your Bible from Exodus 12 and verse 1, and let us all hear the word of the Lord. Exodus 12, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." Amen. We know the Lord will bless this reading of his inspired word. 2 weeks ago, we gave, I suppose you could call it, an introductory message on the Passover. And last week I was intending to speak again about the Passover, but then, of course, with the Sunday football, I felt that it would be an opportunity missed not to touch on a very important subject. But this morning, as we remember the Lamb who has risen from the dead, he's not on the cross anymore, but he's alive. And as we remember him, I want us to come back to this study on the Passover. I don't know whether we'll come back for another Sunday on it. We'll leave that to the Lord. But anyway, for today, it's the Passover. You may have heard in the news that there's, in Israel, there's an attempt to build the third temple. The Orthodox Jews long for the third temple. And at the present time, they're actually preparing the different pieces of furniture, the different items that were in Solomon's temple. In fact, they have completed one of those items of furniture. It's known as the brazen altar. The brazen altar is the place where the lambs were slaughtered and their blood was poured out and the lambs were offered on the altar and burned with fire. They've actually completed the altar for the third temple. So who knows, but perhaps before we realize and sooner than we think, the third temple may be built. The lambs were brought in through the sheep gate into Solomon's temple. And as we've already said, they were offered upon the altar. Well, in Exodus chapter 12, we have the lambs being offered. Now, they're not being brought into the temple, but they're being brought into the homes of the children of Israel. And I want us to consider the lambs that preserved the people of Israel as they came out of bondage all those years ago. Let's think about the lamb that would have been brought into the houses of those Jewish people all those years ago. I want you to think first of all about how the lamb was examined. Because we read there in verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Every one of the lambs were to be examined. They were to be inspected. You know, there's a wonderful thought here as we think about the inspection of these little lambs. Who was to inspect the lamb? Well, it was the duty of the father in the home. Every father in those Israelite houses had the responsibility of inspecting the lamb, examining the lamb to see that it had no flaw. You see, the father in that house, back in Exodus 12, the father didn't inspect the firstborn. That's the thought I want you to grasp today. The father, he didn't go to the eldest child and say, "Now, are you perfect? What have you been up to this week? Have you made any mistakes this week?" No, the father didn't inspect. He didn't examine the firstborn in the family. He examined the lamb. He inspected the lamb. Child of God, aren't you glad today that God the Father doesn't examine you and me? Aren't you glad today that God the Father doesn't look down upon us and examine our lives and go through our lives detail by detail? Of course you're glad. Because if God the Father did that, he would find many, many shortcomings. But thank God today he doesn't examine us. He examines the Savior, his Lamb, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So the Lamb was inspected, not the firstborn. I want you to grasp that. Whenever we think about the Lord Jesus and his earthly life, we find that there were many occasions when people inspected him and looked at him and weighed him and studied him up and down. And of course, many of them were trying to find a fault with him. We think of how he was examined by Herod, that wicked king. Herod inspected him. Herod considered him. We think of how the Lord Jesus was brought before Annas. We think of how he was brought before Caiaphas, then brought before Pilate. Many, many different people. We could talk today about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these religious sects that inspected the lamb. They examined the lamb. They were trying to find fault with him, but they couldn't find fault. But you know, God the Father also inspected the lamb. God the Father also examined the Lamb of God, the Savior, because we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, that the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So obviously God the Father had looked at his Son. He had considered his Son not only in his earthly life, but in all the countless ages of eternity past. God the Father's eye had been upon his Son, the Son of God, his only begotten Son. And in all those ages, in all those years, he found no fault in him. And he chose him. The Lord Jesus was his anointed one. In Isaiah 42, of course, we have those wonderful words of God the Father. "Behold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." Jesus was the elect of God. He was selected by God the Father as the Lamb who had no spot or no blemish. So let me say again, isn't it wonderful today that God the Father, as he looks down upon us, he doesn't examine us. He doesn't inspect us today. But he looks at his Son. And he sees perfection in him. He sees spotless righteousness in him. And because of that, you and I are accepted. My, this is a wonderful thought to start with today. That whenever the father in the home took the lamb, he didn't inspect the firstborn. He inspected the lamb. And whenever God the Father looks down upon us today, he does not inspect us. Some believers are in bondage because they think that he does. And this is their attitude. Oh, well, I must grit my teeth today, and I must grit my teeth this week, and then maybe by the end of the day and by the end of the week, God will look down on me and he'll say to me, well done, boy, you've done well today. You've done well this week. My, you're a great person. I think your name is in the book of life. You'll be in heaven someday. I'm afraid that's not what God does. So if you're a child of God today, but you're striving to please God because somehow you think it'll earn you more brownie points with God, if I can put it like that, that's the wrong attitude to have. It's an attitude that will only bring you into bondage. God the Father is not inspecting you today. He's not inspecting me. He is inspecting his only begotten Son. And he sees absolute perfection. So the lamb was examined. I want you to consider secondly today that the lamb, this is the sad part, the lamb was executed. The lamb was executed. We read there in verse 6, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The little lamb was executed. Its life was taken. Its blood was caught in the basin. The execution of the lamb. I don't know whether you've ever been to an abattoir or whether you've ever seen videos or pictures of an abattoir. It's not a place I would ever like to be. Now, my brother-in-law works in an abattoir. And I suppose day by day and week by week, year by year, as you work in a place like that, you probably get used to it, to the blood and to the stench. But what an awful place it must be for someone who's squeamish and for the person who goes in first time and sees what takes place there. Well, in a sense, the home of every Jewish person in Egypt became an abattoir that night. And the father had to take the knife and he had to kill the little lamb. That lamb that had been set aside for 4 days. It had become, I suppose you'd say, a pet lamb. You know what children are like with pets? My, they love the little animals and they're always petting them and feeding them and they're always cuddling them. You know, children love pets. And just try to picture what it must have been like in that home all those years ago as the little children cuddled the little lamb. And then the father came and there was a frown on his face and maybe a tear in his eye as he said to the children, children, the little lamb has to die. You've got to give it to me. And with sorrow in his heart, the father would have taken the little lamb and slain it. The little lamb had to be executed. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The lamb was set aside, as it were. And for 4 days, 4 days, he was examined in Jerusalem. Just as for 4 days the lamb was kept in the home in Exodus chapter 12. But then the time came whenever the Lord Jesus must die, the lamb had to be executed. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel took the lamb and slaughtered it. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean, first of all, that the people of Israel were responsible for the murder and the death of Jesus Christ. You remember what they said before Pilate? His blood be on us and on our children. The whole assembly of Israel executed the lamb, but you know there's more to it than that. We can't just say that it was the people of Israel, it was the whole world. The whole assembly, everyone on planet Earth had a hand in the death of Jesus Christ, even you and me. Yes, we're guilty today. It was our sins that nailed the Lamb of God to the old rugged cross. So the Father takes the lamb and he strikes the blow, and the little lamb dies and the blood is caught in the basin. But you see, the blood is no use in the basin. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ must be applied, as it were. I wonder, have you applied his blood by faith to your soul? The blood was no use in the basin, and the Father in the home knew it. He had to apply the blood to the doorposts of the home. And the Bible says that whenever the Lord would arrive at the home, he would look to see if the blood was there. And then if the blood was there, the Lord would pass over that home. You remember a few weeks ago that we said what it literally means is that the Lord would stand guard at that home so that no judgment, no punishment could enter that home. I wonder, is the Lord standing guard over your life today? Does the Lord see the blood on your life today? Or are you like those Egyptians without the blood and judgment must fall? Now, later on in the Passover, the family had to eat the lamb. They had to eat the lamb. We'll say more about that in a moment or two. The lamb must be eaten, but you see, eating the lamb wouldn't be enough. Let's just say that there was a Jewish family and they killed the lamb and they caught the blood in the basin, and then they took the lamb and they roasted it and they sat down to eat the meal. What would have happened? Judgment would have come. Do you know why? Because the blood hadn't been applied. You see, people today do all kinds of things, even religious exercises, to try to please God, but the tragedy is the blood has not been applied. They haven't been washed in the blood. They haven't been cleansed from their sins. Eating the lamb was not enough. Let me say as well, not only was the eating of the lamb not enough, but let's just say that there was a Jewish father had said, well, I don't like this cruelty. I don't think I'll go in for this slaughterhouse religion. I'm just going to get red paint, and I'm going to put red paint on the doorposts. What do you think would have happened? Judgment would have come. Punishment would have fallen upon that home. You can't deceive the Lord. You can deceive people. You can fool people. But you can't fool the Lord. I wonder, are there those in the service today and you've got red paint on the door? You look like a Christian. You even talk like a Christian. Perhaps you have been dedicated as a child or christened as a child. You've been confirmed. You've maybe even taken communion. You give to charity. Yeah, of course. Whenever you go into a shop and the cashier hands you back the change, oh, you're a good kind of person. You're a decent, generous kind of person because you take the change and you put it in the wee box beside the till. Because you're a charitable type of person. Or whenever there's someone maybe at the traffic lights and they've got the bucket, they're collecting for cancer, you will always stop the car, you'll wind down the window, you'll always put into the charity bucket. Well, do you think that's enough for you to find forgiveness? Will that open heaven's gates to you someday? I'm afraid not, because dear friends, though it's good and commendable, it's just red paint. You've got red paint on the doorposts of your soul. It's not enough. Only the application of the precious blood will save you from judgment. Of course, the blood was a public thing. You see, the blood was put on the door of the house, the outside of the door, not the inside. And anyone going past would have seen the blood on the door. You see, as believers, we must make much of the blood in our daily lives. We must speak about the blood. We must sing about the blood. We must make the blood the very center of our message. It's to be a public thing in our lives. We're not to hide our witness. We're not to be secret disciples. No, whenever the blood was applied, it was applied to a very public place. We must take a public stand for Christ. There are people who think, oh, your Christian faith, well, now that's just for inside the church. And just whenever you go outside, whenever you leave the church at 12:30 on a Sunday, just shh, 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 no, leave it there. Well, I'm afraid that's not what the Passover teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the gospel teaches. We are taught that our faith is to be a public thing. Well, the lamb was examined, the lamb was executed. Let me finish today by saying the lamb was eaten. The lamb was eaten. We read there in verse 8, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire." You see, we're told here, first of all, how the lamb was to be eaten. How it was to be eaten. How was the lamb to be cooked? It's to be roast with fire, the scriptures say. Fire always speaks of judgment. And the lamb roast with fire in those Jewish homes speaks of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross as the fire of God's wrath roasted him, as the fire of God's judgment fell upon him. The lamb was to be roast with fire. This speaks of the suffering Savior. You know, friends, the only message that brings comfort to souls that feel their sin is the message of a suffering Savior. Isn't that right? One who took my sins. One who suffered in my place. You'll notice that the Lord specifically says it's not to be eaten raw. This lamb is not to be eaten raw. Do you know there are a lot of preachers in Ulster today, a lot of clergymen in Ulster today, and they preach a raw lamb. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't. Let me explain. They say, well, now think about Jesus' wonderful example. My, what a moral, upright person he was. Now you try to copy him. You try to follow his example. And everything will be all right in the end. They're preaching a raw Christ. And by the same token, the congregation are trying to eat a raw Christ, a raw lamb. But it's dangerous. You know how dangerous it can be to eat raw meat if there's meat that's not properly cooked. And the risk of food poisoning, literally speaking, physically speaking, for our bodies, it's dangerous to eat raw meat. But in the spiritual realm, it's also dangerous. And the tragedy is that there are people today and they're trying to eat the lamb raw. But God says it's not to be eaten raw, and he says it's not to be boiled. You're not to boil it in the water. You know, that reminds me of men and women in pulpits today. And the message of the gospel is watered down. If I can put it like that. The message is watered down. All the goodness of the gospel is boiled away in the water of men's notions and speculations and their own thoughts and ideas. And the whole thing is watered down. My, there's nothing as sickening as a watered down gospel, is there? The Lord says, don't boil the lamb in the water. Make sure that you don't water down the message. I don't know whether you read the Easter message by the Prime Minister, Mr. Cameron. You can actually read it. If you don't have a copy of it, I can get you a copy of it. You can get it on the internet. But the Prime Minister's message, this great Easter message, but there was no mention of Christ. There's no mention of Calvary, no mention of the resurrection. All he said, now wait for it, listen to it. It's about the importance of change. Now I'm afraid he must be reading a different Bible to me, because I don't read that in the Easter message. Oh, the message has been watered down. But the Lord says, don't boil the lamb in the water. Don't water the message down. That's how it was to be cooked. But then how it was to be consumed. You see, the Lord says it's to be eaten with bitter herbs. The lamb that has been slain is to be eaten with bitter herbs. You know, dear friends, this speaks of the trials of life. There are some Christians who think that there should be no problems and no difficulties in life, and whenever problems and difficulties come, they're all at sea. And they're asking, what's going on? But you see, we need to remember that as we journey through life, there are times whenever we have to eat the bitter herbs, the bitter trials of life. Don't expect life to be all plain sailing. There's going to be the ups and downs. Remember what Job said in Job chapter 2. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Yes, there's trials in life. And the Lord says you're going to have to eat the bitter herbs. But sure, isn't it worth it when you've got the lamb? When you can eat the lamb, when you can feed upon Christ, when you can rest upon the finished work of the lamb. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley and darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and evils oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.